Private Prissy Pants?
Sir, yes, sir. Lieutenant Hefty?
What are you doing on your iPod on guard duty?
I'm listening to the default setting, sir.
Default setting?
Sir, yes, sir. It's a podcast where Jess and Gigi discuss people's default setting and how it's affected them, sir.
Sounds like hippie liberal psychobabble to me, Private.
It's actually really good.
What are you doing on base?
I'm your 5 o'clock humiliation appointment.
I hired you for discretion.
Catch the default setting on the Above Below Entertainment Network.
This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is brought to you by Jess Falstich.
Sheer, I told you it's Falstick.
That's not how it's spelled.
Well, BJ yelled at us.
So it's spelled Falstich, though.
It's like false dick, like it's like a fake dick, you know, like a sex toy.
Oh. That's Jess Dildo.
This is Nick Urich, and you're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Sheer and El Hordano Diablo.
To Let the Hate Flow Through You, live from Halo Live in Sandusky, Ohio. I'm Jeremy Sheer.
El Hordano Diablo.
And this week, hopefully, well, let's put it this way. Hopefully you can't relate to it because it means you're in a better position in life than the rest of us. But I have a feeling that you can.
If I'm looking at this crowd right now, I bet everybody could have or can relate to what we're going to talk about tonight.
Well, let's get right into it. Joining us this week is nationally touring comedian from just outside of Sandusky in Toledo, Keith Bergman.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome. A church has never sound so full.
At least a church with us in it.
Right.
Well, I mean, me as a Satanist and you as a Jew, we have no business being here. I wanted to hang a pentagram on the wall, and they made me hang it on the sidewall so nobody could see it. Only the people on Twitch. Hi.
Well, I mean, thanks for looking at our Satanist iconography, Twitch. But let's get right into it. Keith, why do you hate poverty?
I hate poverty because...
You are poverty.
I am poverty. I am poverty personified. And I hate it because it changes your life, like, from the jump. Like, I hate it on a big level because there's enough stuff in the world that everybody could be born and we could just be like, hey, you're going to have a pretty decent shot. Like, we could make your medical problems go away. We could give you food. But instead, like, 38 people hoard all the shit.
White people.
Yeah, well, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And they basically, instead of trying... having any urge to make the world better for 7 billion people, they just take the rest of the world and shake it by its ankles until the last of its loose change falls out. And, you know, and that's a big picture hate, but, like, me personally, I hate it because, you know, you have to live 80 years on this earth. I mean, maybe not you, Jeremy.
No.
Nowhere near.
No. I'm lucky if I'm going to make it through the weekend.
Right. But it's like all the stuff that happens to us, like, everything is defined so much by being... You know, when you're poor as a kid, that's just shit that sticks with you for life. It's yeah. Like, you know, you're going to be that kid. If you're 6 years old and you have a coat from Goodwill and it's got someone else's initials written on the tag and somebody clowns on you in first grade about it, that's the kind of thing that pops up in your head 40 years later when you're trying to, like, negotiate a mortgage or go get a real job.
But right? On the flip side of that, growing up poor, you learn how to cook really good ramen. Like, you learn how to make ramen really well.
Oh, sure. And that's something, like, my favorite thing ever to eat is, like, the shitty red beans and rice that my dad made as a kid. Because it was amazing. He could take, like, dollar store sausage and some red beans and rice, like, you know, giant bags of, like, government assistant rice and make this kick-ass meal.
A 5-pound bag.
Oh, sure. But, like, you didn't, you know, but those are things, like, you can do great things despite being poor, but it sucks that you have to learn how to live, have all these weird life hacks to, you know, because it's hard, it's expensive to be poor.
It really is.
Like the, I mean, how many people? How many of you, I don't know, how much crowd work are we allowed to do with this?
As much as you want.
All right.
All of the crowd work.
All right. How many of you in this room at one point in the recent past spent a shit ton of money on prepaid cell phone minutes? Nobody. Okay, the bougie.
One guy.
I can't see any of you, so if you're raising your hand, I can't see you. But yeah. Because I have cheap glasses, that's...
Yeah, as do I. So is...
20/20 vision, motherfucker.
Yeah, well, you know what? You keep mouthing off to me, and we'll see how many of those eyes you got left.
Oh,
yeah. Well, that's fine. Hopefully by the end of the night, I don't plan on seeing out of them anyway.
You
matter.
You have a point. No, I had to do the prepaid cell phone for a while because until Revel came around, there was no other way to have a cell phone without a contract.
Addendum to that: until Obama phones came around. You had a real cell phone, and then you were like, wait, I don't have to pay for one anymore. And if I'm not mistaken, you did have a real cell phone and an Obama cell phone at the same time.
I still have a real cell phone and an Obama cell phone at the same time.
See, this is why Trump won.
No, it's...
Specifically you. You are why Trump won.
Yes, it's exactly me. It's like, that fat white piece of shit is getting all the entitlements...
Yep.
Is it white or orange?
You're the welfare mom right now. You're the welfare mom buying shrimp cocktail with your food stamps that made...
I am not buying shrimp cocktail with my food stamps.
Well, you're not, because you're a dirty Jew, but that's...
No, this is what I bought. Lots of these, lots of energy drinks, and Reese cups. That's pretty much what my $190 a month goes to.
What's the other thing you like? The dark chocolate Twix? Is that what the other thing
Yeah, the
you
dark
like?
Twix. I buy that occasionally.
Dark Twix sounds like a Marvel comic book.
It is a Marvel comic book. It's you know how they made Hostess ads? Now they make a full Dark Twix comic. It's a spinoff of Cloak and Dagger. It's pretty
what's
good.
No. Please keep going. What's it about?
Well, it's you know, in the real world, there's left Twix and white Twix. Right Twix. See, there are occasional moments where you can tell I don't have all
that.
That
was a Freudian slip. He just wants Twix to have white chocolate.
White Twix!
more like alt-right Twix. Jesus.
But in comic book land, you have dark Twix and light Twix. And they're represented by Cloak and Dagger, and they save children with the power of Twix. And it's an amazing sight.
So they'd save children by giving them diabetes?
Yeah. If you get diabetes and your kidneys fail, the government has to pay for your health care.
Oh, man, I didn't think about
that.
That's
only in Canada.
No, it's here. That is actually something that Nixon put into place. If you have chronic kidney disease, you get your dialysis paid for.
Republican.
No, it's not a Republican thing. I mean, it was all that socialized medicine shit was created around Johnson and Nixon. But
wasn't that due to JFK? Why are we talking about politics in the 60s and 70s?
Because that's why so many of us are poor now. It all comes back around.
Well, I thought that was Reagan.
The Great Society. Well, Reagan killed the Great Society and then you know, stigmatized poor people.
I believe in Talladega Nights they said it the best. Greatest Generation, my ass. Tom Brokaw's a punk.
That is true.
If I remember correctly. I don't know.
Well, they basically, they had the world handed to them and prosperity and peace, and they decided that instead they were going to just... I don't know.
Oh, you mean after Vietnam?
I think the boomers were like... See, that's the thing. The Greatest Generation at least, like, made some kind of noise about trying to make shit better, and the whole, you know, they got dragged into the 60s and the Great Society and everything, kicking and screaming. But then their kids became baby boomers... And then turned into complete assholes in the 80s and just gutted everything. And that's where we're...
And that's when everybody was doing coke.
Right. So they had, you know...
And crack.
And depending and crack. On what, depending on your zip code, sure.
I'm glad you said zip code and not race.
We all know better. I'm a diplomatic man.
I know what zip code I would have fallen under.
The white one?
Probably not.
Probably not. No, I just...
I lived in the crack zip codes, and that's what I prefer.
You've lived in crack zip codes. I've lived in crack zip codes.
You've lived in actual crack, just a
yeah.
A house made of crack.
Jeremy's Jeremy's lived in a crack pipe before.
Yeah, that's what I like to call my late 20s.
You see, the thing is people in glass houses has a whole different meaning for Jeremy.
That's It does. Please don't heat up my glass house too hot. Please turn your lighter down a couple of notches. That's all I'm asking. No, but yes, there was some political upheaval that created, that made it harder to get out of poverty, especially now that we've transferred into a service-based economy. So right. Everybody's got a McJob waiting for them instead of a factory job, which
right.
just fucked everybody.
Well, yeah, there was that whole idea that you could just go, like, and it seems like a really long-term thing. Like, we set everything up so there could be a middle class. Like, you didn't have to be real smart or real talented, and you could still get a decent enough job to have, like, a house and pay for your kids' food and dental bills and shit.
I was reading something the other day that minimum wage, when it was first instilled, was minimum wage was enough for a person to have a family and own a house. That's yeah. what it was put in place for in the first place. That's a joke now. Like, people right. on minimum wage are in public fucking housing.
Right, and that's the thing. It's like we're basically, it's corporate welfare because we're subsidizing, the tax money is subsidizing the workforce of, like, Amazon warehouse employees or Walmart people. And they
Walmart people.
Walmart people.
Not employees. People.
Just the people of Walmart. But it's like we kind of screwed ourselves on it too, because everybody just got so hung up on, like, well, that place has cereal 7 cents cheaper, so I'm going there. So it's like one of those things where they know we're not gonna stand up for ourselves as poor people.
No.
And we're not gonna go, well, if we keep supporting this union grocery store, then those people have good jobs and the whole thing, you know, my small sacrifice will make everything better for the whole town.
But that 7 cents more gets you, like, five times as much cereal. Like,
right.
have you seen those bags Walmart sells? They don't put them on the shelves. They put them in racks. you have to pull them out. Like, it's like dog food.
Oh,
like,
I know.
Which it's actually very, like, it's very comparable to, like, this, how they view the American people.
Well, exactly. Most of the food that you eat when you're poor can be compared to dog food.
Right. And that's, you know, and that gets into the whole thing of, like, you know, you can eat off the dollar menu, or you can go to Panera and get, like, a $9
Jeremy
salad.
Exclusively eats off the dollar menu.
Yeah, pretty much. It's is it a dollar? I will put it in my face.
Even a McRib?
Even a McRib.
Trick question. A McRib's not a dollar?
It's not pork either, so you're still kosher.
Yeah. I think it's some sort of insect. So here's a question for you, Keith. Did you ever get those boxes of food from the can of food drives when you were younger?
I don't know if it was exactly that. I know we got food assistance of some kind. I think my mom was on WIC.
Yeah, I got government assistance, but I never got, like, you know, there was a show where people brought boxes of food. We got that. Did you get that, Jeremy?
Oh, yeah. We... when I had a family in Fairlawn, which is a suburb of Akron, like, Akron does have
suburbs.
It's a
rich white suburb.
It is very, yeah.
But so we were basically the poorest people in Fairlawn. And when the school district found out about it, they're like, that's amazing. We actually have people to give this food to. So we would get the big boxes of canned food, and it was all expired.
Dude, you've talked about this before. Didn't you have to, like, boil it until it fucking...
Yeah, you had to boil it until it killed all the germs.
Oh, my God.
But we did save the can of just asparagus. It was, like, government-issued asparagus from, like, the 80s that somebody gave us. And we're not going to eat it, but it's a wonderful testament to how
poor
we were.
Why are you laughing at Jeremy's poverty?
Because they're supposed to.
That's amazing that they would make, like, it's like making generic caviar. Why would you make asparagus in a food service type?
Wait. What's generic caviar?
No, I'm just saying it doesn't exist, but neither should, like, generic asparagus.
Caviar is when you go to one of those fish farms and you just grab a fucker out of the tank and just squeeze it in your mouth.
Like a Go-Gurt tube.
Dude, that is exactly, you just take, like, a cup that you would measure, like, flour or water with, and you just dip it in the water, and that's generic caviar. Mm. It's mostly fish shit and maybe some fish eggs.
Sure.
But,
well, I mean,
you guys not know how a fish farm works? Watch a fucking documentary. Jesus Christ.
It's like the pork and beans. There's, like, that one little strip of fat.
Am I the smartest person in this room? Fuck.
Statistically, that's possible.
I mean, I am white.
Good for you. You have to keep reminding people of that.
Just keep screaming at that wall that you pray to, dude.
All right, fair enough. So, Keith, how long have you been afflicted by poverty? Your entire life? Or did you get a little step up and then have things pulled out from under you? Or where are you at?
I think for me, we were poor all through. We were poor my whole childhood, and then I kind of
How poor?
I mean, like food stamps.
Okay.
Like we were. I was never homeless. I mean, that's the thing. It's all very relative.
I wasn't being a dick. No, I know. I was curious, what level of poor.
Well, it was like we were on food stamps for a while. My dad was. I had a single dad, and he was like the kind of guy who thought it was a great idea to try to open a motorcycle garage.
Oh.
And that was going to be his job, and that didn't go well. So
you got poorer.
We got poorer, yeah. He finally, the last couple years of high school, he got a job at a factory, which was enough to, where we weren't getting food stamps anymore.
Right.
But we still had the
reduced. So you were still totally fucked, because that was helping.
Right, yeah, we went into that little divot where it's like, we were making too much money to get help now.
You know what? I can actually relate to that, because this year on my tax return, I made enough money not to get that extra $400, and I was like, this is bullshit. Mm-hmm. I wish I was poor. Last year I got $1,100. I only got $700 this year.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Government's bullshit.
There's a whole cliche about people who say that they don't go get a job because they can make more money being unemployed. I mean, I have kids now, and one of my daughter is disabled, so we get Medicaid and stuff, and she gets Social Security. And there's this whole thing where if I went out and earned $10,000 a year more than I do now, we would take a bigger hit than that.
Yeah. Right.
So it's this weird, and people joke about it, but it's this real thing. You have to sit and I would like to be the fearless provider or whatever, but it's
start selling drugs, dude.
You have to.
Be a real American, Jesus Christ.
I already do comedy under the table, so that's.
Start selling drugs. Right. There's more drugs in. There's more drugs than drugs, but there's more money in drugs.
Too. I like my Keith Bergman coffee mug more than I like my drugs. So
yeah, but you're
You don't. You just can't do them anymore.
Right. You're allowed to have one of those things.
Yeah, I'm allowed to have a Keith Bergman coffee mug. I'm not allowed to have drugs. I am actually in that similar situation, though, Keith. I was asked recently, Jeremy, why don't you get a job stocking shelves so you have some money coming in? Well, if I get a job, I lose my Medicaid, and I have to go to psychiatric care 6 times a month. And then that no longer gets covered. My medicine costs $3,000 a month. And then I get $190 in food stamps. So by getting that shitty minimum wage job, I lose all of that.
You know how much Mountain Dew he can buy with that $190?
At least a foot's worth.
I've seen it in our trunk right now.
That Mountain Dew is not for me. If I drink Mountain Dew, I will have a violent explosion.
And that's the thing is, you're like a Jewish Robin Hood. You buy Mountain Dew for the people. You don't give them money. You give them
Mountain
Dew.
I rob from the taxpayer and give to the sad boys.
Which you'll see later tonight.
That should be on the back of a shirt. That's nice.
Yeah.
You are. That would, you as, a Robin Hood, that's a good fucking gimmick.
Yeah. I could rock some tights.
I would literally pay money to see that, and I work with you.
This is taking a left turn real quick.
Well, I think what we're doing tomorrow is getting me some tights. regardless of how
Does that mean I have to pay to get into our own show tomorrow?
Maybe.
Only if you have a boner.
Jeremy doesn't turn me on.
Not without tights.
Blatant lie. Stop lying to the people.
All right, fine. My fuckable lips won't lie anymore.
You said that in church.
Of course we did.
Oh, yeah. Did we mention... How many times did we mention we're in a church? We're in a church right now.
Yeah, this is a church.
Well, it was a church.
Well, it was a church.
Now is an artist space, which is...
It's really cool. Jesus is still in the stained glass.
He's not happy with how this is going.
No, well, fuck him. Who cares? Who gives a shit what he thinks?
No, but this is... We should definitely give this a shout-out. This is a
pretty
amazing space.
No, it's great. Halo Live. Give it up for Halo Live.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike Calhoun, for miking the crowd. That's going to sound really good.
So, in your travels through poverty, what is the one place where you've had to cut costs where you really shouldn't?
1955, when he traveled back.
I think, there's been, when I was, it's a different dynamic. When I was single, a lot of poverty stuff was just like shit you just rolled with because, you know,
right.
I could live on chicken nuggets from Wendy's or whatever. But then you have kids and it's like, oh, I have to
buy 50 chicken nuggets.
I'm supposed to be giving these kids all four food groups. I'm supposed to have a roof that doesn't leak over their head. You know, the heat has to work. There's a lot of shit you can do as a sacrifice when you're single that is not acceptable when you have kids.
Correct.
Sometimes legally so. You know, there's whole children's services things and stuff.
How many children do you have?
I have two.
Okay.
So it's...
That's an okay number.
Yeah, and I kind of got... Like, I married into my son is not mine biologically. I adopted him.
But he's your kid.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's no question. But, so I had to kind of go on the grid a little bit after we got married.
Right.
And so, you know, but my wife's a banker, so she's very much like, you know, she lives like middle class.
She's wondering what the fuck she's doing with you.
Exactly. Because
she sees people's money all the time.
Right. She sees what other people are doing, and she's like, oh, you know, you came home with $42 and...
from a comedy show.
From a comedy week on the road.
You must got that killer dick, Keith.
I will neither confirm nor deny that I got that killer dick.
All right, let me ask you a question. If you come home with $42, how many dollars did you leave with?
41.
Well, then that's a win. See, you put that in the win column.
Right.
Some people don't understand that.
It's been a thing.
I guess it's a millennial thing. I don't know.
She's very supportive of me doing all this, but we've also kind of kept our money all the years that we've been together. We've kept our money kind of like roommates.
Right.
For that reason, because she makes
separated?
Actual. Pretty much. Like, I pay for certain things, she pays. But we, like, I don't just, like, throw money in the joint account or whatever.
Right.
Like, I pay for the things I pay for. And so I still have that weird, I have a weird outlook on it. Like, I don't have to go home and worry that the house is going to, you know, I can, like, the house is going to be there. I'm not going to be...
I thought you were going to say the house is going to be clean. I was like, oh, shit, here we go.
No, I end up doing that. That's my, you know, on my off days, you know, because... But it's like she basically, you know, she makes more money than me, and that's a thing that, you know, she... So she covers a lot of the big picture stuff, so I can just kind of... But, like, when I'm on the road, it gets right back to the whole single person trying to just survive and put gas in the car to get to the next place.
Right.
And you end up learning all those weird little tricks, like how long your bank will do an overdraft for.
Yeah.
And how much you can put
in your... I have 45 minutes to put $6 in my account.
And how much, like, I'll tell you this story. Like, this is me trying to make it as a comic, like... 2 weeks ago, a few weeks ago, I went to California. I had a weekend in California.
I've never been to California.
Well, I'll lay it out. Just like this is an example of like poverty thinking and like having like the shit you have to like shuffle around. I was going to get paid $500 to do this weekend, but I didn't have any money.
Right.
And the hotel, and there's no hotel for the show. So like, I have to get to California and then have a place to stay and be able to get around in the most expensive part of the country for 4 days till I get that check.
Jesus.
So I get a Spirit Airlines ticket like the week before, and Spirit Airlines is like the Greyhound bus of the skies. It's very...
the Greyhound of the sky.
It was, you know, I get there with my suitcase, and I knew I had enough money to get a hotel.
Did you just start sucking dicks immediately?
I should have. I would have been...
You probably would have made more money that way.
That's universally true for comedy. You could make a lot more money sucking dicks. Jeremy is very...
I was going to say male or female. It doesn't really matter.
I'm very accomplished. That's why I'm missing the teeth.
He's like a performance car. Like they made modifications to make that.
Yeah, you got to get those upgrades to get into bigger markets with your dick sucking.
So I had
two teeth yanked.
All right. So I get to California. I can afford the hotel or a rental car, but not both. So I end up doing this convoluted like John Candy. Like I took a train to as far as it would go, and then I took an Uber to Sunnyvale, and then because the train wouldn't go that far, and I finally get to this crappy hotel that's walking distance from the club.
Nice.
And I overdraw my account to pay for the rooms, and then I had no money for food, and this club has like four things on their comedy club food menu, so I'm gonna eat like soft pretzels the whole weekend.
Yeah.
Luckily, I sold some CDs.
Did it come with cheese?
They did. Yeah.
All right. Well, there
so you're
well,
good. Yeah,
yeah
you're set.
Good.
Yeah.
But luckily, the first show, I sold some CDs that I had. I'd like crammed 40 CDs into my backpack so I could, you know,
make
and
money.
So I sold those. I sold a couple CDs, and that was my money. There was a grocery store across the street, so I bought like some non-perishable shit there that I could eat in the hotel.
Vienna sausages.
Yeah, cans of, you know, tuna cans. I mean, there's a lot of anybody that's toured or done like road trips with bands and
or
stuff.
Or been,
you know,
poor.
Or just been
I
poor.
Mean,
yeah.
I've done those things too, but or just been poor. You know?
But so, but then, like, the whole thing was the shows ended Sunday, and then I had a really another good paying gig on Tuesday. But I had to find something to do, and I had to get a car to get to that gig. So I got all the way to Sunday. I had it, and then I got my paycheck, and I did the direct deposit with my phone, and that was enough to cover one overdraft. So then I could race back to take the train back to the airport, get the rental car, overdraw my account again, get the rental car, and then I could get to the second money gig. So I broke even on the trip, but it took all this like shell game shit that I don't think, if you don't grow up poor, you don't know that way of thinking.
No.
And you end up having to, you know, I was able to scramble my way through this thing
it's
with pretty
like,
much no
it's
money.
It's like poor Tetris.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like poor Tetris. Like, you have to figure it out, and then when you leave that one blank space, you're like, fuck! No, yeah, I know, yeah, it sucks.
There's,
it's awful.
It's weird to be sitting there, like, having just done, like, a really good show at a nice comedy club where it's, like, you know, big headliners come there and stuff, and you're just, like, you're like eye fucking everyone as they walk out, like, please buy this CD.
Yeah.
I need that $10 so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then you sell.
Dude, you're in LA and you're charging $10 for a CD. You up that shit to 12, 15, dude.
I actually, the
that would require him to have change, which he didn't have.
Who carries $10 bills?
I should just charge 20 for that. Although I did that because I also have stickers. So what I did a couple times was someone would hand me a 20 and I'd be like, I don't have any change. Hey, do you want just like some stickers and the CD for 20? And they would, sometimes they would do that.
And,
yeah.
And other times they'd be like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, go get change from the bartender, asshole. I want my 10
yeah.
bucks back.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
You know what? Now I don't want your CD.
Right. I shot you.
You weren't that funny anyway.
I flew
I'm
too
less
close
drunk
to the
now.
You know what? You know what would make road gigs a lot easier right now? If we could still bounce checks.
Ooh, yeah.
Nobody takes checks anymore.
No one takes checks anymore. I used to bounce checks to pay for hotel rooms when I had nowhere to sleep. Because I was homeless for a little bit, but it was like that.
Which time?
I don't fucking remember how many times it's been now. But it was like, I always found,
so
like,
when your war is a generality, it's just
yeah.
like, it could have been any time you were homeless.
Yeah, there's been a bunch of times where I've been homeless, but
just wanted to clear that up for the crowd.
Yeah, there were times where I'd, like, crash in a hotel because I could find one for, like, $30 a night, and I had $30. But I liked being able to write checks to the hotel that they wouldn't try to cash until I was already gone.
Remember when you could tell people, hey, don't cash this till Friday?
Yeah.
Yeah, comedy clubs still do that to comedians.
They do.
That
not
happened
the other way around.
No, they did that to me once. I drove all the way to Virginia. It was horrible. It was like a
which
Ford,
part of Virginia?
Newport News.
Okay.
So it's like a 12 or 13 hour drive. Yeah. And I got all the way out there and luckily I had a little bit of money in the bank and I had just gotten my CD, so I was super hype about it and I was like pushing it to the crowds. And the shows were decent, but she hands me my check at the end of the week. And she's like, I was going to ask if they could cash it at the bar so I could just have cash.
Right.
And she's like, oh, can you hang on to that till Wednesday?
Jesus Christ.
And I'm like, I'm 700 miles from home. I can't. So luckily I had like my merch money to get home with.
Yeah. Man, the last time I got paid with a check from a club, it was post-dated for 2 days. Fortunately, you know, it was like, it was just the online sales from tickets, so it wasn't like a huge deal.
Right.
But, because most everything I do is cash. But, yeah, Jesus Christ.
Hey, kids, everybody here, anybody listening, if you haven't learned anything tonight, learn one thing. Don't do live comedy.
Don't. No, absolutely not. No.
This is not a money business.
Can I get another speed merchant to the stage, please?
I did a headline week at a club, and I was very excited because it was a last minute thing. They needed to fill in.
Oh, nice.
So, but it was nice. It was like $600. So I was very happy to go do it. And then I went home and I deposited my check, and the bank put a 10-day hold on it.
They weren't used to you having a $600 check.
No, they were that, and I think
I don't trust this.
And I think the place had like a history of bouncing checks. So
yeah.
All of a sudden, like, I'm sitting there, I'm like writing checks to pay bills, or I'm thinking, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, that 600 is not going to be yours till next Wednesday, and it's like, oh shit.
So fantastic.
It's weird. Like, we're out trying to carve out a living among people who are also very close to being destitute.
Yeah, there are clubs closing all around the country, and yeah, that's why I try to go outside of that system.
Right.
I tend to get screwed over less.
Sheer
that
so
way.
Punk rock comedy.
Yeah, well, I'm no J.T. Haberstadt, but I'm coming close.
That actually made me think, what you were talking about with the checks bouncing, that actually made me think of, I did this, this is one of those convoluted, this is the shit that happens to poor people. I lived in, when I was going to college in Toledo, I had no money at one point, and I went to a grocery store and deliberately wrote a bad check. I spent like $30 on food, just to get some food in the house. And wait.
Can we, let's just stop. Let's put a pause on that.
Okay.
What did you buy? Like, was it survival?
Oh, no, it was like...
Like, I'm going to buy myself a steak.
No. It was like potatoes and butter and a bag of coffee, probably. And
that's not $30.
Well, it was other shit. I bought like a week's worth of shit.
A week's worth of shit.
Yeah, I bought...
Did you get yourself one high-ticket item?
I don't think I did.
If you're going to fuck these people over, you might as well do it in a good way.
Well, I figured I was going to pay for it plus the bad check fee.
Sure.
And that was going to be the end of it.
Sure.
Well, this is the most Rube Goldberg mousetrap dumb shit. Like, I moved out of that apartment a month or two later and went back home to live at my dad's house again because I was that broke. And in the meantime, I didn't realize there was a bee's nest in my mailbox, so the mailman quit delivering my mail. So the bad check notices...
What a fucking asshole.
So then, rather than come knock on my door and say, here's your mail, by the way, there's bees in your mailbox, he just quit delivering it. So I moved back home a month or so later, never having gotten a bad check notice. And then I filled out, and I did the change of address stuff. I go all the way back home. I'm like 3 hours away with no car, and all my stuff's back there. Months later, I'm like, I never got any mail. Or I got like, I think I finally, they sent me like a postcard to my dad's house saying, we have a ton of your mail in Toledo sitting in a box. Like, so I called up there, and I finally figured, they'd just been putting my mail aside like I was on vacation. So I give them my current address, and they send me this giant box of shit, including like five notices from the grocery store, then a court summons for the bad check. Then all this, so I ended up having to take a Greyhound bus back to Toledo.
You owe us more money.
Right. So I have a court date then. So I have to take a Greyhound to Toledo to go to court, and I'm freaking out about it. I'm like, you know, and I get there and I'm just like, what do I do? And I go to court, and the guy's like, well, have you paid the bad check yet? And I'm like, no, I came here because it said to come to court. And he's like, well, go pay the bad check and then come back here in 3 weeks. And I'm like, I tried to tell this judge, like, look, I have to, you know, this is a big hardship for me. I have to come. And he's like, well, we could just put you in jail. And
I'm like, for a bad check?
Right. I'm like, he was just being a dick at that point. Mm. So I had to make a second trip. I had to make two trips by Greyhound from my shitty hometown back to Toledo to pay this I ended up paying so much, and then like $40 in court costs and all this shit. Also, I could go one night when I had no food in the house and get some shit to eat. Wow. And it's just like this, such a dumb cyclone of weird things to happen, but
I can't count the number of bad checks I've written that like never ever went through. Mostly to Papa John's, because I was in a very weird part of my life where that's all I ate.
Well, fuck Papa John's, but also fuck you for eating Papa John's.
Look, this was years ago.
It doesn't matter. It's politics, food quality. I mean, I could go on. His hair.
Okay.
Yeah, but if you find a place that'll still take your check, you're going to keep going there.
Exactly. They kept taking my bad checks, and I never got a call about it.
Jeremy was writing 62-cent checks for just the butter sauce. He's like, just bring it to me. Yeah. I just want to...
Just tilting it down his throat like a shot glass.
I'm curious, though. I like by show of hands, this should be fun. By show of hands, how many people have overdrafted their checking account and then suffered the daily overdraft fees? Have you ever gotten to that point? Isn't that the fucking worst?
Yeah.
I saw four hands from three people, and that's amazing.
That's why I don't have a checking account anymore.
No, see, I have a checking account now. I trained myself to never overdraft. If I have $100 in my account, it's like I have no money at all. I'm broke.
Yeah, but you can't do that.
Because, like, what if WWE Network comes out of my house, out of my account? What if fucking New Japan comes out of my account? What if fucking... I take a Lyft drunk somewhere, comes out of my account. You just keep $100 in there at all times, you're good.
See, that's not the level we're talking about. You're a step above that. You're
I've been lower than low.
Right.
Like when I got a DUI. That was the worst.
You are not at the level, got to keep your hands soft just in case you don't have anything to eat in the next couple of days. That's where
Dude,
I'm at.
All I can say is, like, at some of my poorest points, like, it would be like, how much change can I scrounge up from the house? Roommates or not, okay, I have $6 today. I have to go to the gas station across the street and figure out how to make that work for as many days as possible. I've been poor as fuck before. I understand the concept. It's awful.
Right. Like, I mean, there's like, yeah, like there's stuff, and it's amazing to me, like, I've gone up a couple steps from that to where, like, and I don't know if I did this bit on Sunday when I did your last show, but I'm actually, I mean, like half of my next hour-long thing is going to be, like, of comedy is going to all be about being poor. Because, like, I just started going to Costco. And that's like a thing where, you know, people are like, oh, you save money at Costco, but you have to have enough money to buy a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you're being frugal if you're already at a certain level.
Yeah, if you're preparing for the apocalypse.
You know, if you've got enough money to if you've got enough money to throw $25 at pierogies and have them in your freezer for the next year, then yeah, that's great. It's a great place to go.
You need second freezer money to go to Costco.
Right, honestly. Or like garage fridge money. You got to have that.
Freezer money.
You gotta have that, like, that the garage fridge full of store brand pop.
Yeah.
No! Never buy store brand pop.
Don't buy any.
Excuse me?
No. Do you wanna fucking fight over this?
Oh, are we gonna go down on. Are you coming out as anti-Fago here?
Yes, I fucking am. Just because we are however long from Detroit doesn't mean Fago's excusable.
Oh my
God. It has 10 times more sugar than real pop.
Yeah, because it's value. It's value for your money.
No. Anything that comes in 3 liters should be shoved up your ass, not drank.
Well, first of all, I don't know if you've noticed how big those mouthpieces are on the 3 liter bottles, but that would be quite the feat to get that shoved in your ass.
I'd like to watch you do it.
That's going to cost you a lot more than a 3 liter. Gonna...
And I'd pay to do it, and I can afford to, so let's do it.
All right, let's get that done.
Hey, we are going to be in Michigan tomorrow.
Yeah, so we're going to be in Michigan. We're going to get a 3 liter bottle of Fago Cola.
Come up to Kalamazoo tomorrow. I'm going to shove a 3 liter of Fago up Jeremy's ass, and it's going to be really funny to watch.
Ah, the old
Keith
rock and ride.
Keith Urban's going to film it.
I think we made a new sex move tonight, Keith.
This is proof God. This is proof God's not real. The shit we're saying in a church right now.
The only reason we're still alive right now is this building's been decommissioned by the Lord.
I was gonna say he's a Jew. I'm a Satanist. Where do you stand?
I'm an atheist. So
okay, all right. So we're basically
we're the best. We're the worst joke ever. If we all walk into a bar.
I will not be walking into no bars. Thank you very much. That is the one thing that has saved me a bunch of money is I stopped drinking. And, there was a time when, like, I would have to budget so that I could get drunk enough to not feel feelings anymore. So I became addicted to Bush Heavy and MGD and what else was always on sale? Old English.
Ooh.
Yeah. I drank that shit all the time because it was the cheapest shit you could get.
See, if you were a real alcoholic, you wouldn't budget booze into your budget. You would budget food into your budget.
No, I had to budget. I didn't eat. Like, basically what I did at the time was I would survive on spoonfuls of peanut butter and tortillas that I would swipe from my roommate. And all of my cash went to cigarettes and booze. And unfortunately, cigarettes haven't been $2 a pack in many years.
Where does your money go now?
Where's my money go now? Cigarettes. And
that's it. That's
pretty much. It's just cigarettes and gas. A lot of gas money.
Yeah. Were you drinking? Was Red Dog a thing? Red Dog beer?
Yeah. My grandfather, for some reason, bought a thing of Red Dog. He's blind. I don't know why he bought it.
They put it where the Bush Light was, and he just mixed it.
Did you say he was blind?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's why he bought it, then. What do you mean you don't understand why? Nobody buys Red Dog.
Well, as soon as
I bought it all the time.
Well, yeah. How old are you?
I'm actually Jeremy's grandpa. That's okay.
Fine. I figured you guys are probably the same age, but, like...
I think close.
I mean, like, but I can't, like, judge. I drank Molson XXX for years because I could buy six beers and drinking six beers was like drinking 12 beers.
Yeah.
It was like drinking 12 PBR, and you wake up with just the worst stomach ache. Now I just
feel
like...
Oh, man, yeah, that, like some of that, like, I still remember. I only drank Steel Reserve once.
Ooh.
Yeah, I had a few Steel Reserve nights.
Yeah, and the headache, the Steel Reserve headache is just like someone just took an ice pick to your skull.
I know I've told this specific story, and somebody was here to witness it, right there in the front row, Eric. when I drank two Steel Tall Boys, however, after those two Steel Tall Boys, which that's enough booze to get you drunk,
right?
I believe we split a mason jar of apple pie, which is like moonshine.
Oh no!
And Eric there, that guy right there, watched me tumble down a flight of steps
as you deserve to,
right? Yeah,
and cut my head open.
As you should have broken your neck. That was
no. Well, yeah, I should have also died when I flipped my car and got a DUI, but I didn't.
Right.
So you're all stuck with me. But
curses.
The moral of the story...
That's the proof there's no God right there.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the moral of the story is. It's
the moral
just,
of the
like,
story
drink
is...
to have fun. That's the moral of the story.
The moral of the story is a lot of people make a lot of money selling poor people booze.
Yeah.
And this seems like a really inopportune time to ask if someone could bring me another one of these Pilsners, but I was...
Yeah.
But is there anybody behind that bar?
I think so. At one point, I was also surviving on MD 2020 and Wild Irish Rose.
Woo!
Here's why. It was easier to steal.
And you called me white trash!
It was easy to steal.
Yeah, it's pocket size.
I stopped drinking Wild Irish Rose after I like drank a bunch of it, and then I went to an African-American room and wore a skirt, drank a bunch of Wild Irish Rose, and threatened everybody to... fight me because they were being homophobic.
Dude, wow. I never realized it until right now, but like at this point in your life, you are a sober Jewish Shane McGowan.
Sober.
That is exactly who you are. Anybody familiar with the Pogues? Does anybody know the Pogues?
Why am I Shane McGowan right now?
It's the teeth. His teeth shaming.
At least Keith knows where I was going with that. But hey, didn't you just get approved for?
I did. One of the reasons that I don't have a job is so I can.
Because you suck so much dick.
I mean, yeah.
All right, that's the cause. Now we're looking for the effect. We're looking.
The fact is, I got approved for an upper partial, so I can look like a normal person when I have to.
You still kind of look like a normal person.
Yeah, they're just. Once every like 40 paragraphs, you notice that he ain't talking right. That's. And I don't really like that, but it is what it is.
Can Keith Bergman be our third? This has worked very well.
Aw, thanks.
I know, this has worked very
this
well.
This is all I have to talk about. You talk about any other subject, I'm going to be completely useless.
So we just have to talk about being poor?
We're just it's
have
just,
you ever been a drug addict?
I haven't. That's the...
Loser.
I know.
Whatever.
You're a lucky man. That's also where a lot of my money went, but not anymore.
He's okay. Yeah, the jerk. You know, no one can hear the jerk off motion.
No, I often do physical comedy for our podcast.
That explains why no one listens to your podcast.
Thank you.
Or anybody laughs.
You're welcome, people on Twitch, for that bit of physical comedy from El Hordano Diablo.
I hope Tommy Dreamer's watching.
I do too.
One guy got that, and it's our next guest.
Well, not everybody's into the wrestling.
Apparently not in Sandusky.
Okay, so here, a lot of times when I was younger, I would have to pawn my CDs to the exchange.
For drug money?
Not for drug money,
no,
for gas money.
Right.
Drug money.
How often have you had to sell and rebuy your CD collection?
So many times.
Wait, your own CD?
No, like you're actually, like you'd have, like you would own some music and then, like, see, I worked in used CD stores through a lot of the 90s and I not only was part of that system.
Like CD exchange?
Yeah, like that kind of store, like a CD, I worked at a CD warehouse, which was like a real shitty
version
of that,
yeah.
And so not only did I get a front row seat to like watching people come in on rent day or whatever and get no money for their CDs,
mm-hmm.
You know, that was just such a screw job, but then I was also participating in it.
Right.
And so, yeah, there were a number of times. I actually had a thing going one time. I had a bunch of CDs that were basically worthless, like the stuff you'd get at the dollar bin at the CD exchange.
Right. The stuff that you have the little notch in it.
Right, or, you know, some band that had never made it, whatever. And I had tons of that stuff because I was doing music reviews for a while for some zines, so I got a ton of free CDs. So I took, at one point, I had a scam going for a while where I took maybe 500 of those to a pawn shop, but I convinced the guy that I was coming back for them so he would give me more money.
Right.
Because if I sold them to him, it was going to be next to nothing. But I was convinced him it was my CD collection, and it meant a lot to me. So I'm going to come back. So you should pawn. I'm going to pawn them. You're going to give me more money, and then I'll come back and get them. And then I never went back and got them.
That's brilliant.
And the dude was like pretty mad about it.
Well, I mean, that's...
Did you go back to the pawn shop?
I never went back.
Okay. Well, I mean, then fuck him. Who cares if he's mad about it?
Right, but like he was calling. Yeah, like he was calling my house.
You sold the sales. Sold the bullshitter.
I think he realized. Yeah, he realized that it was a bunch of crap he was never going to sell, and he was very adamant about trying to get me to come back. Like months after the ticket had expired.
Oh, you have to give him your phone number and shit.
Yeah, you got to give him your ID and all that stuff so they can verify it's not stolen, because they wouldn't want to sell stolen shit at a pawn shop.
Yeah,
God forbid.
So, but yeah, I got more money out of them than I would have, and I had no intention of getting the stuff back. But then he was very much like, at that point, he would have just been happy to get the pawn money back to get rid of all that crap.
Yeah.
If that dude still has a shop, I know wherever, the place I took them to is not there anymore, but I think he moved. He's probably still got at least half of those CDs sitting on a shelf somewhere for a dollar that no one's ever going to buy.
No, probably not. I mean, especially I still can't believe that walking into department stores and seeing people buying full price CDs.
I had people that would get so, they didn't understand how it worked. Like, I had some lady come in one time, and she wanted to sell back. She bought a CD for $16.99 at the mall. Which, yeah, there you go. Back in the day, kids.
FYE.
Right. But then she came in, and she was like, well, I didn't like this CD, and they won't give me my money back because I don't have my receipt. Can I get, like, $12 from you for it?
Mm.
And I was like, that's not how this works at all. So, and then I told her she could get like $2 in cash or like $3 in trade credit, and she got really upset.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's the racket we have here. That's how this goes.
That's how it works. Yeah. I worked at the exchange for a hot minute. I got fired for being late one time.
Man.
That also made me poor. I was already poor. But I guess, really, this is the first time that I've ever done anything at a church, I think. I remember correctly. And now I feel like it's actually a sermon. Like, we're actually preaching to people. Like, don't be poor.
Have you tried not being poor?
Yeah, go do something with your life, loser.
Well, it seems like you married your way out of being poor. So how else can we... How else do you get
out? I thought you were talking to me for a minute. And I was like, no, I didn't. I'm the breadwinner.
Yeah, I know. You're the breadwinner. Record store girl is not the most high-paid position.
No, but I did just get a sweet copy of The Last Jedi, double LP,
$18.
So everybody can suck my dick.
Okay, see, and that's $18 for a vinyl version of something. Double.
So it's like $40.
That's what makes me laugh, is that like the vinyl thing is making me laugh after working in UCD stores for so long. And it's like shit.
When it was like 50 cents or cents for a record.
Or like certain albums that were always like in the dollar bin.
Yeah.
But now it's like, oh, well, if I want to get this copy of Beck's Mellow Gold on vinyl, it's going to be $32.99. Because it's this 180-gram audio file remastered, what the fuck ever. But the used CD copy is still sitting there for $2.
Yeah, I can't handle all that. I'm not rebuying all my shit on vinyl.
No,
you can't afford a collection of any kind.
No. I have a collection right now of change sitting on my dresser.
Do you know how much is in it?
No.
No?
No.
Oh, you're balling then.
I just put the change on there.
He's Jewish. He knows how much is in there.
Yeah, I clink, clink, clink. That's 83 cents. That's how it works.
He can count it by smell. He just holds it up.
He knows the sounds.
He wafts the smell over his nose like a sommelier.
That's 983.
Oh, there's a wheat penny in there somewhere. I can.
Canadian?
There's a strip club token in here.
Hey!
Ruined everything.
I've been dead from the waist down for years.
I wish that wasn't true.
But no, there's a thing too. Like, you know, you start, You know, like I got to, my wife will do that where she, my wife makes fun of me because I still know how much change I have at any given. Like if I have $4 or $5 in change, I know that, and I'll use it.
That's a pack of smokes.
Right. That was like gas and cigarette money. Like if you knew how much was in your pocket. But she does the thing where like putting change in a jar and like, well, I'm not going to miss.
That's what I do now.
And that's what, yeah, because you're more comfortable in life.
Yeah.
And when you get to that point, yeah, you can save your change.
I mean, and let's make it perfectly clear, I just got there within like right. the
oh,
last
dude,
year.
No, I know, yeah.
Like, I know what I'm doing. No, I just finally was like, oh, I have excess change, I can just put it in this thing.
Right.
Hopefully someday I can buy a pie with it. I don't fucking
Or yeah,
know.
You go, you know, yeah, you get that. Like, but that's been the thing. That's the thing. Going back to the big picture theme of this whole thing is like, I hate the fact that poverty is a thing where like the people, like all we're trying to do is get less poor.
Yeah.
Like we're all trying to get to a place.
Good luck.
Like I'm at that. You know, I married into a slightly less poor household, mm-hmm. and now it's like we. You know, I don't.
What's that like?
It's nice.
I can't.
It's very nice. We have
like. Does she support your dreams and aspirations?
She does.
Oh, you're winning, dude.
And she, you know, we have two cars. They have insurance. It's crazy.
We have one car, and we have to put fucking power steering fluid in it every day.
Yeah, well, mine right now...
So I'm poorer than you, motherfucker.
Yeah, but I'm driving a 2001 with 286,000 miles on it.
I'm driving a nothing.
Okay, well, I guess that's...
Jordan has to be led around on a wagon everywhere we go.
That's only because a car won't support my weight.
He asks for the wagon. He wears a beanie hat.
I actually do like being pulled around, you know, whatever.
It's your fetish. It's cool. There's
yeah,
no shame
it's whatever,
here.
Whatever, dude. I jerk off. It's big. It's no big deal. Sheer, how we doing?
How we doing? We're doing great.
All right, good.
I
because I'm pretty sure this crowd is lit, fam.
Y'all so
lit. Biggest fucking pop we got all night.
Yeah.
Because you said lit. You're.
No, I said lit, fam.
Okay.
They
fam.
Wouldn't have,
fam's the key word.
Fam is the key word.
Lit AF, fam.
There.
Damn it. Damn it! What year were you born?
Keith's more with it than you.
Yeah. Apparently.
Stop asking comedians when they were born. It's like asking a woman. Oh. We're not marketable after a certain age.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I mean,
I
you've
don't
seen my
give
act.
A
half,
fuck.
Half of my set is about how I'm old as shit. I'm steering into the skid at this point. There's no fixing it.
That's
yeah,
good.
But you look better than Jeremy.
I know, but that's you know, Jeremy's just a giant bag of expired drugs at this point. So we're
yeah.
I wish he was, because I'd still take him.
I bet his jizz probably would get you high.
More.
You want to try that out later?
Yeah.
Podcast over, folks. Go get out of here.
Yeah.
Save yourselves.
But I'm not confident in your blowjob skills, so I'm just going to jerk off into your mouth.
Ooh.
Will it still get me high?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. No big deal.
Good. Yeah, so I'm just trying to figure out what I'm going to picture to be able to come in this fat boy's mouth. This is not going to be his face.
Just picture your own podcast.
Maybe a block of government cheese.
A block of government, yeah. Jeez, I can't remember the last time I actually had government cheese.
I know, and it was decent. That was the thing, though. Everyone made fun of government cheese, but that was good shit. It made good cheese, good grilled cheese sandwiches.
Good grilled cheese sandwiches, and they had a little Velveeta kind of tastes similar.
Right, and Velveeta's expensive as shit.
It is.
I don't understand that. It's government cheese in like a bougie box, and it's like $5 a pound. I don't get it.
I don't understand it either. But I have I've started making ramen and cheese. Where I just,
oh.
You get the big tub of margarine, and then just add the margarine to the ramen, and then add, like, shredded cheese into it.
First and foremost, as a rule, you never use margarine for anything.
First,
you do when it's broke. Well, you do when you're broke.
Yeah.
No, use
you can get a big tub your roots. Of margarine
for a lot less money than, like, that 4-pack of butter.
And guess what? That 4-pack of butter is going to taste good.
You know what? I'm not worried about flavor. I'm worried about getting as much nutrients into my body as possible. And since I feel like trash, it has to be terrible.
Right. I don't think you get the struggle anymore, man.
Maybe I don't. Maybe I have a salary now, plus commission.
El Hordano de sellout. What the fuck?
You sold out! You sold out! You sold out!
Who are our sponsors, speaking of sellout?
Real butter money over here.
Real butter money.
He's got real
Can that
butter
be my
money.
Fucking rap name?
Wait, young real butter money.
Young real butter.
And you can be Lil Butter Money.
Wait, I got it. Young Lil Butter, young real butter money, and Lil Margarine.
They call me Lil Marge.
Well,
I'm more
like
GMO than
stop,
man.
Stop. I don't like it. Lil Marge, I don't like it.
You don't like Lil Marge?
I don't like it.
It's the opposite of Large Marge.
I know, and I don't like it. I don't like it.
Well, we do have sponsors, so I have to bring them up. Thank you very much to Just Fallstick at Epic Fall on the Twitter. You can see her every Sunday at the Bar Louie in downtown Cleveland now. Where,
yeah, fuck that other place, by the way.
Oh, Avenue Tap House is the goddamn worst, but I've tried
Burn to... Burn it down!
That's a good idea. I've tried to run shows there twice before, but it was too late for me to go up to them and be like, hey, you know, this is a really bad idea, but... It is what it is. You can also listen to her podcast, The Default Setting, released every Thursday on the Buffalo Entertainment Network. And thank you very much to Britt Fox, Xbox Rocks, on the Instagram and Snapchat. She is a songwriter. Keep an eye on her. There are big things coming. Keith, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at Keith B. Bergman. You can find me on Facebook. Just look me up. I think it's just Keith Bergman.
Just look me up.
I'm on there.
Though? We should
we can
be friends
totally,
yeah.
Friend me, man. I friend everybody.
It's then, Keith B. Bergman for Keith Butter Bergman.
Keith Butter Bergman.
But not real butter.
No. Keith Olio Bergman. Does anyone still say Olio? Is that a thing?
I think just Haywood Banks.
I think
it.
I really...
I can't be Keith. It's not butter.
Oh.
That we're not going to get better than that.
No, it's time to go.
Jordan, I don't think we're going to find anybody that hates poverty as much as Keith Burke.
No, there is another.
I won't apologize again. I'm a rapid offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep setting up and falling on my face.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.